Now, the false teachers of the last days will not trust these things, because take a look at verse 5. Now we're back in 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 5. I'm going to read here out of the King James Version, because I think the King James does a better job translating this verse. It says, "For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water." See, the New American Standard Bible says it escaped their notice. The King James Version, which I think handles the Greek better here, says these false teachers are willingly ignorant of these things. The Greek verb there is thelo, which means to desire or to wish. The reason these false teachers reject creation, reject flood, and reject the return of Christ is because they wish these things to be gone. They will them out of existence. A parallel passage would be Romans 1:18, which says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." See, you can deny God's existence if you want to, but you're going to have to work real hard at it. These are all active verbs. The reason these false teachers think the way they do is they push God out of their minds. Because the idea of the return of Christ scares them, just like the idea of a global flood scares them, because they simply do not want the accountability. So, going back to our outline here, Peter has taught us very clearly with a historical argument how to refute uniformitarianism. You refute it by reminding people of history, particularly creation and flood. Now, he goes on with a second argument here, and he gives an argument from Scripture. And notice, if you will, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, second way to refute these uniformitarianism that will come about in the last days. He says, "Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day." Now, he is alluding here to Psalm 90, verse 4, which is the oldest psalm in the Psalter. I believe it's the only psalm that Moses authored. And back in Psalm 90, verse 4, Moses says, "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night." And what Peter is referring to here is the character of God. God is outside of time. God is not bound by time. See, to these false teachers who are saying Jesus is never going to come back, they're looking at it from the wrong point of view. To them, it seems like there's been some kind of massive delay or holdup in the return of Christ. But it doesn't seem that way from God's point of view, because God is not bound by time the way man is. To God, tomorrow is already today. Because with the Lord, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. In other words, these false teachers are not viewing things from the right point of view. Now, how many have seen the Rose Parade ever on TV? Okay, I guess not, because we're in Australia. You have parades here, right? Have you seen the Rose Parade? Okay. I mean, it's a neat thing to watch. Lots of floats go by, a giant parade. And you can actually, I don't know if you've ever done this, you can actually camp out there on Colorado Boulevard and watch the floats go one by one. Watching the floats go one by one in a parade is man's point of view. Then suddenly the helicopter gets involved and they give you an aerial shot through TV and you can see the whole parade, the first float and the last float. So that's a different perspective, right? So the aerial shot is how God looks at time. Sitting on Colorado Boulevard and watching one float go by at a time is man's perspective. So what Peter is saying here is these false teachers who are claiming Jesus will never come back are assuming that there's some kind of massive holdup in the return of Christ, when in reality there's no massive holdup at all, because to God, tomorrow is already today. That's why God can reveal prophecy. He can reveal tomorrow before it happens, because He's not affected by time the way we are. Romans 8:29-30 says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. Those whom He predestined, He also called. Those whom He called, He also justified. Those whom He justified, He also what? Glorified." He's tracing there the different phases of our salvation. In the past, I have been called, foreknown, justified, but my future glorification, what tense is that verb in at the end there? That's the past. Am I glorified yet? No. Do I look glorified? Probably not. I'm looking at you guys. You don't look very glorified either. But from God's point of view, we've already been glorified. Now, why is that? Because God can decree things like this, because He's not bound by what? Time. So Peter's point in verse 8 is, don't falsely assume that just because there's some kind of delay in the return of Christ, that the return of Christ will never happen. In fact, from God's perspective, which is not bound by time, the aerial shot that I tried to share earlier, tomorrow is already today. And so really that's Peter's second argument, as he makes an argument from Scripture. By the way, on that, Jude verse 14, when it's describing the return of Christ, he says there in Jude verse 14, "It was about these men that Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord," what? "Came," past tense, "with many thousands of His holy ones." Now here's Enoch, apparently made a prophecy about the return of Christ, and he says, "The Lord came." Well, wait a minute, I thought prophecy was yet future. It's future from man's point of view, but from God's point of view, which is not bound by time, tomorrow is already what? Today. So don't assume that just because it hadn't happened yet, it's never going to happen. That's what Peter's point is there in verse 8. Alright, going back to 2 Peter 3, let me give you Peter's third point in his rebuttal. And here he's appealing to God's character. And this is probably one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. He says in 2 Peter 3:9, "For the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but He is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to" what? "Repentance." A delay in the return of Christ is not a what? Denial. A postponement in the return of Christ is not a what? Cancellation. God has deliberately held things up. Why has He deliberately held things up? Because He's a God of patience, and He's a God of love, and He's holding things up to give as many people as possible the opportunity to trust in His Son. I'm sure glad He didn't come before 1983, I'll tell you that much. Because 1983, as I shared a little earlier, was the year that I trusted Christ as my Savior. So God held the whole program up just for me. And He held the whole program up just for you. And guess what? Apparently there are others that are to be reached, because he's holding up the end time program so they could be reached as well. And this is what we call the patience and the long suffering of God.